Well, good morning, and on behalf of the Counseling Ministry, we want to welcome you today to our Growing Healthy Marriages class. And Angie's going to be teaching the class on the dependability you want, which is a chapter in the book that we've been using. Now, next week, I'll be teaching the class on the closeness you want, which is chapter 8 in the book. And I'll use about half of the class to do that and talk about what's in chapter 8 and some things I've experienced in my counseling practice. But the other half, Laura and Brandon have agreed to allow me to interview them. And they are a unique couple in many ways. And I'm really looking forward to doing that interview, and I think you probably really enjoy it. They already know the questions, so I'm not going to blindside with you. Okay, so Andy, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you. So, that was my attempt to try to lead a song. In my whole life, I've never loved a song. If you heard me sing, you probably wouldn't want me to. So, when Glenda asked me to lead the Happy Birthday song, I can't say no to Glenda. So, hopefully, I get credit for at least leading one song in my lifetime. All right, this morning, dependability. I'm going to talk about dependability. About half of what I prepared comes directly from the book. So I want to share with you some of the nuggets from the Gregoire's chapter on dependability. And then I also did some research, and there's a lot of research out there on marital satisfaction that highlight dependability as a foundation for a strong, healthy marriage. And so I want to share that with you as well. And then I want to start off by seeing what you think about dependability before we define dependability more in an academic sense. So if I asked you, what are some of the most dependable things that you've ever experienced or used or known in your life, what comes to mind? And so to kind of get you started, when I think of dependability, I think of craftsman tools. I think of Duracell batteries. We have a refrigerator stocked with Duracell batteries. I'm not wearing mine today, but Timex. Those are from Generation X and Baby Boomers. Timex watches take a licking and keep on ticking. Yeah. So I think of that as dependability. Dependability, you could use synonyms such as accountability or responsibility or reliability. All of these terms could come to mind. So what comes to your mind when you talk about dependability?
Okay, so when I was a kid, my mom would always pack my lunch. I never had to worry, like, if my lunch going to be ready. Like, she would always have my lunch ready. I never had to, like, worry about anything. She would always have it ready to go. And if I was going to be playing a sport, like, one of my parents, like, it depends. In general, they would be there. Like, I would expect, like, they were there. They were there for a lot.
Yeah, and I'm glad you interjected people, because we can look at people as dependable. Sky's the limit. Anything that's dependable to you.
Thanks. General.
Toyota.
Yeah. Spencer?
Toyota,
yeah. That's what we drive.
Honda.
Honda, yeah. The rivalries, yeah. Other things?
I would say the first. I know everyone's been married, but going out, having my baby.
You could depend on the church in times of need. I like that. Yeah, I think our church has been considered dependable. Other things. Eric, we're talking about dependable things in your life. I've already taken the Craftsman and the Duracell and the Timex. I'll add Chick-fil-A. You guys can relate to that. Whether we're in Ohio visiting Keller's family, or if we're, you know, in California visiting Kobe, or here, or just up the road in Denver, you order something, you know what you're going to get. You can depend on that consistency, that reliability. You could depend on them being close, which I think says volumes about where their priorities are. Love their business model. All right, sorry to get you off track. Back to my original question. dependability.
My wife is
Tim's got some brownie points for today. Anything else? For those of you that are sports fans, and I dabble into sports every now and then, but if you're following the Broncos this year, their defense. Dependable. Their offense? Not so much. It's what you can rely on. What's going to make you feel safe, comfortable, rely on, you know, always having that lunch, being fed. A lot of qualities and dependability. So my next question is, how would you define dependability? I've got my definition and my segue into the lesson today, but I would really genuinely like to know how you would define dependability.
You can
always count on something or someone you can always count on. Great foundation.
Put your faith in it.
Yeah, no matter what, you can lean on it. Dependable. Yes, I've got that as part of my starter definition.
I think I also consider dependability to be the other way, right? If you know somebody who demonstrates a pattern of not being there, I can depend on them to not show up.
Yeah.
Here's a consistent thing.
Okay, consistency is a good synonym. Any other definitions for dependability? Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into it. Fulfilling commitments. You can look at this with several lenses, through a lens of faith, through a lens of what's in it for me. You can look at it through the lens of what can I do, how can I be dependable to someone else, or to another group, or to a team. So fulfilling commitments, completing tasks and promises, even in the most difficult times. Consistency, if somebody mentioned that. Your actions align with your words. Talk the talk, walk the walk. You see what someone says and how they behave, their actions. Shows that consistency. And then third is accountability. Which is required here, but we talk about this in society. I talk about this with my students a lot. Training young adults to be accountable. Training older adults to be accountable. We all know what it's like to train children to be accountable. A lot of challenges. In other words, taking responsibility for your actions. Easier said than done. Well, you apply these to a marriage, they all connect, or they all should connect. I'd like to start with some scriptures. Actually, let's start with a prayer. If you bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this time of class, and as we prepare our minds for worship, as we enter into a period of worship, I ask that you just bless our time together and enjoy each other's company, but just to be reminded of how we are called to be accountable to you and to your community. Thank you above all, Father, for providing the perfect example in Jesus and how we could glorify you in these mornings and talk about being dependable in marriage, that we just take a little segment from the lesson in our discussion and apply it to our lives. And in the end, that it brings glory to you. Thank you so much for this church and ask for continued blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, okay. Okay, so I've got some scriptures up here. I'm looking for some volunteers. Just one to two passages of scripture. Ephesians 5:25. Might get someone to volunteer for that. And then, we're gonna hit these one at a time. And I want to tie those into, the lesson this morning. So the first one was Ephesians 5:25. Can I get a volunteer? Kelly, alright. I knew I could depend on her. Proverbs 12:4. Bill, thank you. Hebrews 13:4. Proverbs 13:11. Okay, got it. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. I'm not sure. I got, okay, Laurie, I got you. Alright, so let's go ahead and start with Ephesians 5:25.
For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church.
Okay, here we see the element of sacrifice, just like Jesus has been sacrificed for our people.
And I thought he gave up his life for her.
Yes, that's important. That's good, so that's the sacrificial connection there. Proverbs 12:4.
A good wife is like a crown to the husband, but a shameful wife is like a crown.
Okay. Honor and dignity to the nobility and character of a wife's well-being versus a disgraceful wife like decay and bones brings ridicule and pain to the marriage. Hebrews 13:4.
Marriage must be respected by all, and the marriage bed shall depend on God because God will judge the world and the
marriage. Okay, so faithfulness. Proverbs 13:11.
Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathered by labor will increase.
Okay. You're trustworthy. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9-10.
Two people are better off than one, and they can help each other. If one person falls, he can reach out and help. Someone who falls alone will be removed.
Okay. And that's the scripture that the chapter I've read and prepared for today is going to build upon. Dependency on one another. I'm going to talk about things like commitment, building trust, effective communication, which really can't be overstated, responsiveness, how we respond to each other in difficult times, but also in joyous times, partnership. We're in a partnership with our spouses. And God certainly has a lot to say about that, how we can build each other up. Vulnerability. Being vulnerable with each other to share the most difficult times. And then, of course, the attention we pay to our spouses is also a critical piece to being dependable in a marriage. All right, so I'd like to shift slightly to some of the research out there. And some of this is secular, but some of this is Christian-based, and I just wanted to share some things that I came across that relate either directly or indirectly to the chapter for today. So there's a journal of personality and social psychology I read from time to time. And in 2003, there was a publication that did a study on marriage and dependability, reliability, commitment. And it says that the commitment is the strongest predictor of dependability in marriages. And this is based on self-reported surveys, but it was the building blocks, the foundation. Number one, in terms of its correlation to dependability and success in a marriage. So, commitment. We're told about commitment in these scriptures. Then, a while ago, this is back in 1989, there was a textbook that I found, and I read through that. There's a lot of nuggets in there, but I just wanted to focus on a few things for today's class. And Holmes and Rempel studied 300 married couples and found that building trust between the couple is the strongest foundation for building dependability in a marriage. So based on your study of 300 married couples, that was the number one thing they found, was building trust. Makes a lot of sense. And then Jackson and Solomon, in the Psychological Science publication in 2014, revealed that effective communication and responsiveness were the strongest predictors whether or not a marriage was going to succeed. Okay, in other words, not ending in divorce, was the strongest predictor of dependability in a marriage satisfaction seminar that they did time and time again. And then finally, in the Marriage That You Want textbook, the Gregoires add that mutual partnership, vulnerability, and attention are marquees to a successful marriage. Not, we've covered this in previous classes, not fixed on roles or authority, meaning within the marriage itself, you know, whether it be the husband having the authority or the wife having the authority. Having that mutuality are critical in building a strong and dependable relationship. And then taking all these things together takes time. Think about the things we've identified at the beginning of the class as kind of as the icebreaker. We don't know if something's dependable or reliable overnight. It's something that takes time. So same thing within a marriage. You know, especially going through difficult times and knowing that you can rely on that other person to work through those difficult times is hugely critical. And I think that's what the Gregoires are really putting the different important aspects of a marriage into one, is that you have to give it time. So some of the takeaways from the chapter that I've read, and I'm going to spend some time going through each one of these, sharing with you maybe my perspective, but feel free, this is the interactive part, if there's something that you feel you could share or something that just as an observation that resonates with you, feel free to share that as well. So there's 5 points. Okay, I'm going to give a few minutes to each of these points, see what you think, and then I'd like to share with you kind of my thoughts on these 5 points and these takeaways of how you and your spouse can build dependability. Okay, number one is be each other's understudy. Okay, and I have to be honest with you. When I read this the first time, I was like, what? But as I thought about it, and I went back and reread it a second and third time, I was like, okay, I see where they're coming from. It makes sense. Maybe this is something that I need to work on more, and maybe Kelly and I can work on a little bit more. But here's the premise of being each other's understudy. If something goes wrong for one, the other can step up and help. Okay? These can include things like household chores, taking care of kids, paying the bills. The list can go on and on. Now here's the part I couldn't relate to until after I read through it a second time. It's like a theater production. Okay, and I don't have a background in theater, but maybe I know a little bit about preparing your lines, and you know, I was in Greece when I was in high school, but it's going back a long time ago. I don't know if that's really a theatrical production, but the main characters always have an understudy just in case. Someone gets sick, gets ill, there's an injury, maybe the person's just not working out, you have someone there that can step right in. Kind of like in the sports world, it's the next man up mentality. Someone can come off the bench and fulfill that role, to keep that relationship, to keep that team strong and productive. Let me share with you what the Gregoires have in their book about the power of the understudy. Respondents, and this is based on their research and what they found in their studies, respondents who were confident their spouse could take care of the house if the respondent had a minor surgery were 7.6 times more likely to have an above average relationship. And then they have subscores, and where it rose to the top was in their category of flourishing marriages. So 7.6 times more likely to have above average. So above average and excellent. They were 16.7 times more likely to agree their spouse does their fair of the household. Shared responsibility, it gets to the accountability. And I think under all of this, it gets to the commitment that both individuals have to building that relationship. All right, Caitlin, cover your ears. This next one. Additionally, women who were confident their spouse could take care of their house if they had a minor surgery were 76% more likely to orgasm every time they had sex, and 4.9 times more likely to be sexually satisfied. Men who were confident their spouse could take care of their house were 2.2 times more likely to be sexually satisfied. This kind of gets back to Christie's lesson a few weeks ago in their lesson. So it kind of ties back to that. It goes deep. All right. Also, in this first point, under being each other's understudy, the example they give, and this is interesting. Okay, I hope you agree with me on this. I thought it was like, that is interesting. And we're not here to bash others that don't do this or maybe do things differently, because obviously there are different ways to approach responsibilities within a marriage. Okay, but I just thought this was fascinating. Who makes the healthcare appointments? I would not have thought about that. But the Gregoires actually did some research on this. All of us need to visit the dentist and the doctor. But instead of taking care of this individually, in most marriages, one spouse bears the burden for both of you. The arrangement isn't healthy, because it's signaling a broader dynamic in which one person is doing things for another that they really should be doing for themselves. If I didn't step on anything. Men reported that 6.2% of them do the majority of the medical and dental appointments, so small percentage, whereas 66.5% of women do this for both spouses. Compared to couples who split medical and dental appointment booking evenly, a husband who does the lion's share of the appointment is 1.9 times more likely to have below average ratings of the relationship. Interesting, isn't it? And this is on the flourishing scores of their survey. When spouses share the scheduling and medical and dental appointments through, though, the marriage have high rated flourishing scores. Respondents were 83% more likely to have a below average relationship flourishing score if they didn't share that responsibility. And it gets into other statistics I'm not sure. But I thought that was interesting. Thoughts?
That's because maybe it shows that they get their results.
Yeah, I think it could, absolutely. What's the saying? Maybe Gwendy can help me on that too. Before you can love someone else, you gotta love yourself. And so having that self care, as a guy, sometimes I overlook that. But I think sometimes if you prioritize taking care of ourselves, then we can better take care of those that we love, especially in the context of the marriage. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.